Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we will hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Jonah chapter 2, beginning in the second half of verse 6 and continuing on through the end of verse 10. In the first part of this message, Dr. Beakey taught us how faith seeks refuge in the Lord's salvation. In this broadcast, we will see how faith, having experienced salvation, responds with praise to God and receives confirmation from the Lord. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe in the Word of God.
Well, Jonah turns now from the faith's refuge to faith's praise in verse 9. And he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I won't adhere to those lying vanities anymore. I will sacrifice rather unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, what had he vowed? Well, as a younger man, he had vowed to give his whole life to the Lord. He was a prophet, after all. A true prophet, not a false prophet. And he had vowed to give everything to the Lord. Of course he had. You can't possibly be a prophet of the Lord and not vow to give your whole life to him. That'd be like today, being a minister and not having vowed to give your whole life to the Lord. It's a disaster. I sat next to a minister on the plane not too long ago and asked him where he was serving, and he said, well, he retired some months ago, and talked a little bit further with him, and he made this statement to me which just stunned me. He said, well, I figure I've given my whole life to the Lord and the rest of it's for me. You're a minister of the gospel and you try to take back your own life? That makes no sense at all, my friend. There's just no way to live for yourself that you can find any satisfaction for yourself. You're on the road to destruction. A true Christian, and in a double way, a minister of the gospel, can't ever live for himself. To live for yourself is to destroy yourself. To live for yourself is to live for a purpose other than God made you and created you, other than what he redeemed you. Salvation is of the Lord. That's the purpose you've got to live for. I will offer sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll come and I'll repay that vow. And I'll say, as we often sing, you know, in Psalter 174 and 175, that I will give everything. Here in thy house I give to thee the life that thou dost bless, and pay the solemn vows I made when I was in distress. I'm going to give everything. That's what a Christian says. That's what a true minister of the gospel says. Face praise. I want to praise God. I want to express my gratitude to God. I owe everything to him. And even when I give everything to him, I'm but an unprofitable servant at best. But oh, there's no other way to live than to pay your vow before God and cry out salvation from beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega, for that's what Jesus is all of the Lord. So Jonah here, verse 9, the end of his prayer, he's just praising God. He's just praising and exalting God and showing gratitude to God. Salvation. This is the crowning apex of it all. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Lord, salvation. Remember that? That's how we began. These things fit together like a hand fits a glove. Salvation. Lord. They belong together. No Lord, no salvation. Now, how does Jonah praise God? Well, he praises God in three ways. First, he praises God by longing to offer a perpetual sacrifice of thanks to the Lord. A perpetual sacrifice. He doesn't just want to consecrate all to the Lord just today, just when he's in the belly of the fish, but all his lifetime. You see, that's the way to live. Lots of people make vows temporarily. New Year's Day vows, they break them on January 2. But if you perpetually vow a sacrifice of thanks to the Lord, it's a lifestyle of praise, of consecrating everything you have to God. That's what Jonah's doing. And secondly, true faith praises God not only by a perpetual sacrifice of thanks, but also by a surrendering of soul and body into his hands. I will pay that that I have vowed. It's his whole life, his soul, his body. It's a renewed commitment. Lord, if thou wilt deliver me from the belly of hell, if thou wilt perform such a miracle, I will seek grace to praise thee and live unto thee as God alone. And that's not just something he makes up in a moment of emergency, like someone in the hospital. One man said to me one time, I'll never forget it. He said, if God ever brings me out of this bed and I can return home, I'm giving the rest of my life to him. But he didn't. Get out of the hospital, got back home, he went into his old ways of sin. It was just a momentary impression. But not so with Jonah. He surrenders it all to God. I will pay that that I have vowed. And thirdly, true faith praises God not only by its perpetual sacrifice of thanks and its surrendering of soul and body to God, but by its declaration that all salvation comes from God. And this, Jonah 2, verse 9b, this is the climax of the whole book of Jonah. Here you hit the apex. This is everything that comes before, everything that comes after. This is the theme. See, Jonah is really a missionary book. God is extending his grace to the Ninevites. He's saying, in the Old Testament already, I'm a God of the Jews and the Gentiles. And Jonah in the belly of the fish comes to reckon with that. And that's why he can go to Nineveh when he gets spit out on dry land. God is a God of the Ninevites. And that's why the book ends with this, Jonah. Because Jonah strays again. And God corrects him again at the end of the book. He says, well, there's 120,000 people in this city. There's even much cattle. Shall I not spare them? And the book ends with a question mark. Do you want me to be a non-missionary God, Jonah? No, salvation comes from the Lord to the ends of the earth. Salvation belongs to Yeshua, the Lord. You know, Jesus is the Greek equivalent of Joshua in the Hebrew. And hence, Joshua, the king, and Joshua, the high priest, and Zechariah are types of Jesus, Yeshua, of the New Testament. And here, you see, we declared in no uncertain terms by Jonah, from the belly of the hell of the fish, this triumphant note, I will not perish in the fish's belly, for my case is not my case. My case is the Lord's case. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord will deliver me, that only. But salvation is of him for every sinner who comes to him by faith. Yeshua, salvation is of the Lord. That's why the word Jesus is really a contraction of two words, J-E being Jehovah, the Lord, and S-U-S, a salvation of, a contraction of salvation. Jehovah, salvation. Jehovah saves. This is a summary, not just of Jonah, actually. It's a summary of the whole Bible. It's a summary of the plan of teaching. It's a plan of everything in Scripture. Salvation is of the Lord. In the plan of salvation is of the Lord. The execution of salvation is of the Lord. The application of salvation is of the Lord. The preservation of salvation is of the Lord. Everything about salvation is of the Lord. And Jonah learns this in the seminary of a fish's belly, a strange college. But there he's taught by God, salvation is entirely of the Lord. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who showeth mercy. You see, Arminianism has it completely wrong. Roman Catholicism has it completely wrong. The Bible has it completely right. Salvation is not you do your best and God will do the rest. It's not half man's efforts and half God's efforts. Faith is not a work. Faith is a gift, a free gift of God. And faith receives a completed salvation. And this we learn. We learn often in the belly of hell, as it were. We learn when the Spirit convicts us of our sin. We learn we cannot save ourselves. We learn that we've fallen in Adam. And every day of our lives, we manifest that fall with our actual sins and our thoughts, our words, our actions. We cannot save ourselves. Our repentance needs to be repented of. Our tears need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. As Top Lady put it, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no rest could know? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And so faith comes by the grace of God to Jesus Christ. Empty and stripped and condemned. And there the soul experiences, encamped at the cross of Calvary, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Follow I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, ere I die. There you get saved. There you experience salvation is of the Lord. You know, sometimes I think of it this way. God has to teach us four things. First, we think, oh, I'm going to save myself. It's I. Then we begin to see who we are and we think, oh, I can never do this. I need God to help me. So it's I and God. And then we come to the point where we say, you know, I can't even be a major player here because there's just so much wrong with me. And it becomes God and I. But we have to come to the place of Jonah where it becomes God. Period. And no I. Salvation is of the Lord. L-O-R-D with capital letters. The Yahweh, the unchangeable God, the special name of God, the covenant-keeping God, the I Am. The I was that I was, the I am that I am, the I shall be that I shall be. The eternal, unchangeable, covenant-keeping God who never forsakes the work of his own hands, whose love is always constant, agape love, despite our fickle phileo love. Because of this God, we get saved. Not because of anything else. Salvation is 100% due to God and to his grace. And you know what? When that becomes real for you and you fall on your face before this God and you cry out with Jonah, salvation is of the Lord, you will praise him. You'll find refuge in him. That goes beyond anything you ever imagined. And you'll say, this is the truth. My conscience affirms it deep within me. Salvation is of the Lord. If I had to add one stitch to the robe of Christ's righteousness to be saved, I'd be lost forever. It's all the finished work of the suffering Savior, the exalted Savior, the glorious Redeemer. Praise God. Salvation is of the Lord. In the closing verse now of Jonah 2, we see faith's confirmation. Faith takes refuge in the Lord. Its praise is about God and His salvation. But now God confirms faith. He owns it. We read, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." See, it wasn't just Jonah's imagination. Faith bears fruit. Faith finds fulfillment through the Lord. Not through me again, but through the Lord. The object of faith is the Lord. The Lord spake unto the fish. And the Lord did everything, all through the book of Jonah. Isn't that amazing? We read, twice the Lord guided the fish. Remember back in verse 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. The Lord sent the fish, and now the Lord spake to the fish. First, the Lord said to the fish, as it were, "You go swallow up Jonah." And now the Lord said to the fish, as it were, "You go discharge Jonah." The Lord's in control of the fish. He vomits out Jonah upon the dry land. It's confirmation of his faith. Now, there are many lessons we could learn from this, but let me just give you three short ones as we close. The first is this. When God reaches his goal with the afflictions he puts upon his people, then usually he withdraws his chastening hand. He says it's enough. And we're delivered. Not in every situation. God is sovereign, but that's the normal way. And God reaches his goal with us. And you see, that's what happens with Jonah. After 3 days and three nights, he comes to repentance. God reaches his goal to break him and to redirect him and to make him obedient and submissive and to revow the old vow. God brings him back into the right place, and God says, it's enough. And Jonah can cry out, "Salvation is of the Lord. It's enough." And the fish spits him out. Can you identify with that in your life? You kicked against the pricks. God kept his hand of affliction on you. Kept pressing you down. And you kept kicking and kicking. And finally you surrendered. And when you surrendered, he released you. Released the affliction too. Secondly, Jonah had to return to the place where his disobedient journey commenced. Jonah had to return to the place where his disobedient journey commenced. In other words, he had to go back to the place where he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Do you know the fish deposited Jonah near the coast of Palestine, where he started out? When I was a boy, my dad used to talk to me a lot. And one of the things he said to me was this, among many: when you backslide, remember, the further you backslide, the further you have to return. And every step you walk out of the way is another step you have to come back. That can be painful. But you see, God takes us back every step of the way. We have to go back to the scene of the crime and confess our guilt, and then start going in the right direction. And what a blessing, you see, that that's what God does with us. He brings us back to the real scene of the crime, our deep fallen Adam, and we own our sin. And then God redirects us to the second Adam, and we walk in his direction. He brings us back in order to bring us forward. Heaven is paradise restored on the infallible foundation, where redeemed sinners from all nations will answer the purpose to which they were created. Salvation really is of the Lord. God will bring back to the scene of the crime. From there, he will redirect in the right way. He will heal thy backslidings. Hosea 14, verse 4, "I will love them freely. I will heal their backslidings." And lastly, number three, despite the scars that remained, Jonah had full liberty again. The fish spits him out. Where are the filthy weeds around his neck? They're gone. He gets up. He gets strength into his body again. His faith is confirmed, even in his physical appearance, in his spiritual union with Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation even of his body. He's delivered from the fish, as well as salvation of his soul. And so now Jonah is delivered in every way and reconsecrated to God. He has a new sense of compassion. And he goes and speaks to the Ninevites and brings the gospel. God makes him obedient. And he loves God and he loves man now. Am I speaking to someone here this afternoon who needs to hear this? Are you perhaps kicking against the pricks of God's providential dealings in your life, dissatisfied about something, trying to go your own path, trying to carve out your own way? Come back to God. Remember the Lord. Return, O backsliding sinner. Acknowledge your iniquity, and he will heal your backslidings. And reconsecrate yourself by faith to God. Let him confirm that faith so that you may say with the poet, and with this I close this afternoon, Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thy erring children lost and lone. O strengthen me that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers with the troubled sea. O use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt, and when and where, until thy blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."